Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, from the WIOK studios, this is the Jason Barsky Show. The Jason Barsky Show.
Yeah, I have some guests in the studio. I saw a story this morning. I think it was in the Times Leader.
Yes.
I think. And I gave you guys a call this morning. And John Achakevich.
Excellent.
The executive director of CASA, which stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. You have an organization. Let me see if I get this correct. You find people who are willing to step up and take care of kids who are in the, who need help. Like, they don't have their parents with them.
Right. So let me just clarify.
Help me, because I want to make sure I understand completely.
Taking care is probably not a good usage, because people might think with their foster parents, and we're not big brothers. So the name of CASA really speaks to itself. Court-appointed special advocates. We recruit, train, and support volunteers from our community who then become appointed by the judge to become advocates in court for these children who've been determined dependent, which means they've suffered abuse and neglect, many of whom have been removed from their homes.
So is this special cases versus... Are these more extreme cases?
Exactly.
Okay,
you know,
all right.
The children that we're going to be involved with have suffered physical abuse, sexual abuse, and serious physical neglect. And in many instances, in terms of serious physical neglect, they've been removed from their parents' care because of the opioid issues, and they just simply can't be provided for, in addition to cases of sexual and physical abuse.
Also in studio, also from CASA, Annie Ellis, you're the program director.
I am.
And you're also one of the advocates, is that correct?
I am. I was appointed an advocate in May of 2016, so just coming up on 3 years, I've been an advocate. I've advocated for two children so far. I just took on another two younger children just on an interim basis because their situation required an advocate be appointed ASAP.
How is it different, other than the cases being more serious, versus someone who says, I want to be a foster parent versus I want to be an advocate? What are the responsibilities?
Right. So we provide no services to the children. What we actually do, our order to appoint allows us broad access into a child's life. The most important thing that we do is to make considered recommendations to the court about what we believe is in that child's best interest. So when there's a hearing, a dependency hearing, because all these children are dependent, we go to the hearing, we submit a report in advance about what we believe is in the child's best interest, and we testify on behalf of the child. How do we get to know all that information? By spending time with the child. We may go to their school, we may go to their foster home, we may take them out for a slice of pizza, but at least a couple of times a month, spending enough time in that child's world to make those good considered recommendations.
And I think the point I would make also is that CASA is a national program.
Okay.
It was developed by a judge in Seattle, Washington more than 40 years ago, because in his position involving these cases, he felt that he wasn't getting enough information from those involved in the child's life, be them attorneys or caseworkers, to make an informed decision regarding what would be their best interest for permanency. Should they be returned home, adoption, guardianship? So right now there are about 900 CASA programs throughout the country with about 68,000 volunteers. And the ultimate strength of the program is that when a judge appoints a court-appointed special advocate, it's to one case and one child or sibling group. So right now we have 54 volunteers able to serve about 75 to 80 children. Wow. So it's that one-to-one relationship that really makes the difference in this system, because everyone else has many more times that cases, whether it's the attorney for the child or the caseworkers.
Do you, as an advocate, do you deal with the parents at all?
I do. I do. A lot of the children are removed from their home and placed in foster care. So we're spending time with that child in the foster home and therefore spending time with foster parents.
What about the parents themselves, the birth parents who lost the custody?
I do also spend time with birth parents, and sometimes that's a challenge. For example, the first child that I advocated needed for was a 9-year-old boy who was beaten so badly by his own mom that his teacher called 911 and he was taken out of school, removed from that home, and his mom ultimately went to jail. By the time I was appointed as an advocate for him, his mom was released from jail, and because they had participated in a lot of services, they were starting to spend time together, visitation, supervised visitation, and ultimately unsupervised visitation.
Right.
And yes, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to remain objective. It's very important to remember that no matter what happens, children love their parents, and we need to be respectful of that. And if there's a way to find a relationship with that parent, we want to try to assist that.
It sounds also like if you put a child in a home and the foster parents fall in love with the child, they lose that sense of impartiality, correct? Do you have to remain impartial in this?
Absolutely.
That's the hardest part, probably, of all of this.
Right. That's a big challenge because, you know, we may come into a situation and think we know what the right thing is right off the bat, but we are not credible until we've spent the proper amount of time and done the legwork to really know everything about the child as best we can. That's a considered recommendation. That's an objective, factual recommendation.
Talking to, Annie Ellis, program director, and John Achakevich from CASA, which is court-appointed special advocates for children. Yesterday, so you guys just... is it swearing in?
Yes.
Is that what it is? Of how many was it?
We had 14 new volunteer advocates that joined us, and it was a tremendous response, you know, from these folks. We do trainings twice a year, spring and fall. So this was our spring class, and now we're beginning to recruit for the fall class. That'll begin at the end of September. So right now, as I said, we have, with this additional 14 volunteers, now 54 volunteer advocates, and hard to imagine, but 2.5 years ago, at the beginning of 2017, we had 18 active advocates. So to triple
Number
is good. However, you know, there are approximately 440 children in Luzerne County who are in foster care because of abuse and neglect. So right now we're touching about 20% of that population. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot more work to do, a lot more growth. The other thing I would mention, we're also a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We don't receive any tax dollars. So our growth is also dependent upon the support of the community through fundraisers, foundational grant money, and contributions. And the community, again, has been tremendously responsive and supportive of our program.
When you look for new advocates, what kind of qualifications does a person need to have? Are most people eligible, or do you have to have a certain level of education? Ask me, could I do it? Not that I'm going to. I'm just kind of curious to see if I would fall
just
into
by
that
looking
criteria.
At you, I can tell you can do it, Jason. Absolutely. What we're looking for is commitment, compassion, concern, some common sense. You don't have to have any educational requirements. You do need to be over the age of 21, and it is a commitment. We ask our advocates to see their children at least twice a month, and certainly to appear at all court appearances. It's very flexible because you can see that child on your own time. It might be on a weekend at a baseball game. It might be somewhere else.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Good to know. If someone's listening right now and they're like, I could do this. A couple of things. This is a volunteer position. Is that correct?
Yes.
It is. And it's on average 12 to 15 hours per month. And it is flexible, as Annie mentioned. The only time that isn't flexible is when the court reviews these cases every 6 months. So usually you would need to block off one half day of your time. And those hearings are scheduled about 2 to 4 weeks in advance.
So the ideal person for this is someone, obviously you said, is compassionate, someone who has a flexible schedule, someone who wants to help.
Someone who wants to help, and I think we all come to a volunteer experience with that feeling and with that desire. And we foster that, and we train and supervise our advocates so that they can do a good job. This isn't the kind of volunteer experience where you get your training and we say, good luck, let us know how you do. It's very hands-on afterwards. If someone's out there and feels like, I think I can do this, I'm here to tell you can. We'd like you to reach out to us. We'd like you to look more into it. We'd like you to check out our website, luzernecasa.org, and get some information and call us.
I don't know if there's a way for you to realistically answer this question, but I'm going to ask, what would you say, is there more positive or heartbreak that comes out? Like, is it somewhere down the middle? Do you find yourself feeling happy at the end of this more often? Because, you know, I know a little bit about the foster system. There are a lot of issues, and it's just they're not funded the right way. There's no follow-up when it comes to, a lot of times there's no follow-up. Kids get 18 years old, they're on the streets, they don't know where to go. It's not a good situation sometimes.
There are a lot of difficulties, and the system is flawed. We have a couple of sayings. One of them is we look at these cases with a CASA involved and without a CASA involved, and yes, we see that we make a huge positive impact in the cases we're involved in.
And we've also had many volunteers say, I've gotten way more from this than I've given. It can be life-changing both for the child and also for the volunteer advocate, because that's you're going to be involved in a circumstance where you can truly make an impact. And it's that one-to-one relationship that gives you that opportunity, because you're going to be involved with a child who has just suffered such trauma, not only because of the abuse and neglect that they've experienced, but the removal from their home. But the research consistently shows that when you have one trusted, committed adult in a child's life during that period of time, there is hope for that child to become more resilient and to have an opportunity for a better life.
I'm just imagining if I was in that situation, thinking more of like, you know, from a child or from a, I am a parent, but I'm guessing if you're somebody who doesn't have CASA involved with no advocate, caseworkers show up, you're meeting with attorneys, it feels cold, you feel like you're dealing with an organization, like it's like getting your license. No one ever says, that was the greatest trip to the, you know, PennDOT, sorry. No one ever says, that was so much fun. It's always cold and, you know, I'm guessing you showing up as an advocate makes them feel a sense of hope. Like, I may have screwed up, I may have made mistakes, but this person, if I do what I should do, they will probably see me as a human being, not just a bad person.
Not as a criticism of anyone else that's involved in this system, because everybody works as hard as they can. Caseworkers, you know, I can't say enough about them. But a CASA is really often the only trusted adult that for the first time will sit down with a child, look him in the eye and say, your past is not your future. Anything is possible, and I will be right here with you.
Do you deal with the children after the cases are settled, or is this, you have to cut ties?
So our order to appoint extinguishes when that case is closed, and so we no longer have that access. I can tell you from experience, the first child that I advocated for was adopted by his very loving foster mother a year ago. Cool. We do remain in touch, but only because it's okay with him, too. Drop him a note, see how you're doing, checked in, sent his adoptive mom a note on Mother's Day.
So if somebody were, you know, you... It's a situation where it seems like the mother's going to lose the child, and you work with the mother, and you talk to the mother, you talk to the child, and you decide, maybe not now, but 5 years down the road with treatment, maybe they could reconcile and make something happen. That if both sides, if you were interested and they were interested, you could stay in contact with them and help.
You could maintain contact. Sure, you could maintain contact. Again, we don't provide any services.
Sure.
We just kind of oversee and I, if you will, push that rock a little bit up the hill.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, one of the, you were talking about qualifications or expectations, and in listening to the conversation, commitment is the ultimate expectation that we have for a CASA volunteer, because we don't want to be that one trusted adult
who disappears.
Yeah. Disappears. And very often these cases can go on for years. And the average time a child's in foster care in Luzerne County is about 20 months. So while it's a huge responsibility, the opportunity to have an impact is equally significant.
Are you legally bound? Like, can the judge say, hey, you made a commitment here and go after him? Or is it because it's a volunteer position? If someone does flake out on this thing, it's, you know.
Unfortunately, there have been some instances. Sometimes people have career changes, health changes, and they can no longer serve as a CASA. And it's necessary to have that CASA discharge and hopefully then be replaced by another. It's not our preference. It's not something that we like. But again, life happens and they're volunteers.
Yeah. Like excused absences versus not. Sometimes things happen. I get that. If someone is listening and, you know, I guess even if one person is listening and they say, you know, I want to look into this. I can make a difference. How can they reach out to you to, you know, start the process? And when does the next training start?
Not until the end of September. So there's plenty of time. Okay. To, again, go to our website. We have information sessions usually twice per month at our office. They'll be about 1 hour in length where you can learn more about the program, the volunteer experience. The next step after learning more about the program, if you're then interested, is to apply.
Right.
There's a written application online. You'll then be invited for an interview where we'll talk more about your desire to become a CASA and work with us and hopefully be invited for training.
Can I have the website again? I just want to write it down as you say, because if I can write it down, everyone listening can write it down.
So. The website is luzernecasa.org.
Luzernecasa.org. CASA.org.
Correct. And we do encourage anyone, if anyone out there, if something you've heard today speaks to you, we encourage you to reach out, contact us, because I can tell you there's a child out there that needs you.
No. excuse me. No, you're doing good things. This is a cool organization. Never heard of it before. Knew a little bit about the foster system and the struggles they go through, but it's kind of nice to know that you're there to kind of help support some people who probably feel like they've been abandoned by everyone, because everything they knew, you know, even if it's through their own actions, it's taken away. You know?
In this case, it's not because of the children's actions. These are the children who've taken been away. Without proper parental care and control because of suffering from abuse and neglect. This is through no fault of their own, yeah. Sadly.
That's cool. It's a cool organization, you know, dealing with a really rough time in people's lives. Sorry, my stomach growls. It's like a sidekick here in the air. My apologies for that. Again, it's the executive director, John Achakevich, and Annie Ellis, program director. Thank you for coming on my show. I appreciate it so much, Jason.
Thanks, Jason. We appreciate it.
And again, it's luzernecasa.org. Luzernecasa, CASA.org. If you're interested in becoming a CASA.
Becoming a court-appointed special advocate.
Reach out, fill out the application. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The Jason Barsky Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.